Good evening, everybody. I'm calling the regular meeting of council to order on September 26th at 7 p.m. Please rise for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Vicki, please call the roll.
Councilwoman Laura Pismo.
Present.
Vice President John Pleshnik.
Present.
President Nancy Fellows.
Present.
Councilman David M. Fiebig.
Present.
Councilman Christopher Hollum.
Present.
Councilwoman Laura Lenz.
Present.
And Councilwoman Janet R. Mica.
Present.
The first order of business this evening is the disposition of the journal for the regular council meeting of September 12th.
Madam President.
Vice President Pleshnik.
I move to adopt the regular council meeting minutes of September 12, 2019.
Second.
I have a motion from Vice President Pleshnik and a second from Councilwoman Pismo to adopt the regular council meeting minutes of September 12th of 2019. Is there any discussion on the motion? Vicki?
Pismo.
Yes.
Pleshnik.
Yes.
Fellows.
Yes.
Fiebig.
Yes.
Hollum.
Yes.
Lenz.
No.
Mica.
Abstain.
The regular council meeting minutes of September 12th have been adopted. The next is the mayor's report. Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Nancy. Special thanks to the administration, police, fire, and service, and all who attended a successful Touch a Truck on September 14th. The Civil Service Commission has completed the administration of police and fire exams. 43 applicants took the test, and we hope to be notified very soon with the results. We received notification this week that the SCBA grant written by firefighter Bob Bensel for breathing apparatuses for our fire department was approved for $146,666. Very unusual, but there's a 5% match on this grant, and we'll be able to purchase 22 units. We'll be asking council next week for next meeting for legislation to for us to bid the project out. Congratulations to firefighter Ventel and Chief Gandy on this achievement. The brush pile is winding down, and Road Superintendent Grubis has assigned Saturday, November 2nd, as a final day for brush drop-off. Signs will be posted to reflect this date. The League of Women Voters presented a nice forum for mayor and council candidates, as well as the library and Lake Grand. We appreciate their support in making it available to our residents. This week, I completed a letter for the support for the Chagrin River Watershed Partners proposal to the Cleveland Foundation for the Chagrin River Corridor and Lake Run Trail connection. I hope this will lead to some good way and some walking paths and bike paths through Willoughby Hills in the future. Chagrin Watershed will be looking for some financial support in the near future for this endeavor. I am happy to report that a new business, Impact Nutrition, will be located at 2804 Sun Center Road, Suite Number 5. They recently applied for a zoning certificate to take the space formerly occupied by Hangout Group Game Room. I want to wish well wishes to City Hall employee, electrical contractor, and former assistant fire chief Mike Santilli as he undergoes treatment at Cleveland Clinic downtown. My sympathies to Frank Berkachek and his family on the passing of his nephew, and Service Department Bob Moore for the loss of his brother-in-law. Residents who really recently passed away include Kevin O'Connor and Rosemary White. Our thoughts and prayers remain with their family. In closing, I'd like to announce the following events. The Classic Cleveland Clinic Willoughby Hills 5K Run for Wellness is Sunday, October 6th, registration at 8 o'clock. This is a pet-friendly event. We encourage everyone to enjoy the walk or the jog through Willoughby Hills. The craft show is Saturday, October 12th from 9 to 3. The Halloween party is Friday, October 18th from 6 to 8:30. And that's all I have. Now, I'd like to give you a couple of thoughts from the the contractor for Dodd Road Improvement. He told us today that his milling machine is broken. So we contacted their bonding company to make them aware because they may not be able to finish in time. So there are some liquidated damages involved in that. The state auditor released the 2017 and 18 audits. The auditor rendered them as unqualified opinions for both years, meaning that there is no financial misstatement in the reports. The August financial reports have been posted to the website, and the open checkbook has been updated for August. Income tax collections through September 19 are running 9.6% ahead of year-to-date of 2018. This increased approximately $395,000 over September 2018. What we budgeted was $197,000, so we're about $200,000 ahead. The fire department budget remains a concern. The chief is reviewing the expenditures and will be requesting judgments to the budget. And then yesterday was Dawn Schneider's last full day of employment, and we are currently accepting applications for her replacement. That's all I have.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Are there any questions for the mayor this evening? Councilman Phoebe?
Mayor, did you say there were 43 applicants?
Yeah, there were 42 firemen and one policeman.
Oh, okay. That number is way up from where it had been. If it was.
Well, for fire, yes.
Yeah, well, it's still good either way. The other question on the brush pile or the brush drop-off, I remember from the first weekend we had maybe 7-8 that had dropped off. Did you keep a record and you keep tracking offhand?
Yes, like
how many
today.
People?
Today we had 8 in 45 minutes, so that was very good. But most days it was very light, but now it's becoming more and more used.
Okay. So what's the average? Is it over the weekend, the Thursday, Friday, Saturday time? Is it half a dozen?
No, it's more than that.
12?
Yes. And every Monday we haul it out ourselves.
Right.
So
okay.
We're able to do that.
So all in all, it's been a productive use of time and resources.
Right.
Would you agree?
Yes.
Okay. All right. That $200,000 in addition, that I think will help us if we're talking about some overtime issues, right?
Right.
That's what you're looking at now, and we'll confer with the fire chief and try to work that out.
Yes.
Right. Okay. And then finally, the Dodd Road project. When you said finish in time, do you mean that they will finish? It's just going to be behind schedule, or are they saying it's broke and we're not going to get it done this year?
We don't know yet. I'll let Pete talk more about that, but we
okay.
don't know.
All right. Thank you.
Any other questions for the mayor this evening?
Mr. Mayor, two quick things. In talking with residents, I had in the last week two requests of you, and I just wanted to share them with you. One was on the issue of the brush drop-off. I have heard from several people continuously that they'd really like us to consider whether or not we could, if it's affordable, have brush pickup, because it's pretty hard, even with the brush pile open, for seniors to bring it. And sometimes they can get someone to help them, sometimes they can't. But it is a service that Kirtland and other cities offer, so I hope that we can continue to examine if brush pickup is workable. I know Mark said he was going to do, our street superintendent said he was going to do some work on it. If he has anything, I'd really love to have it shared with council so we could consider it as well. The second thing that I heard was from some residents that abut City Hall, and they said, you know, throughout the lawn cutting season, we would fertilize or we would spray some, they didn't know if it was pesticide, what have you, to make the City Hall lawn very green and clean. But they just requested that, you know, the people who are, you know, a couple houses down from City Hall might get a call or some notice that the spraying is going to happen, because some of them are worried. I'm sure that it's nothing extraordinary, but some of them are worried. They would prefer to know and not be outside when the spraying was happening. So if that's a courtesy that we could do for the people who are like three houses out on either side of City Hall, I know that they'd be really grateful.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Bob. The next is the Law Director's report. Mr. O'Leary.
Thank you, Madam President. I just have a couple of things this evening. One was I met with Chief Collins, Police Chief Collins, concerning a proposed ordinance which may come on either at the next meeting or the one after that, related to changes with benefits for veterans that are employees that are deployed. It seems that our current ordinance isn't quite match what is in the revised Ohio Revised Code section on that. So he's asked us to take a look at that, and I think he's forwarded it to for review and the consideration for a change in that ordinance, and so I would support that. The other thing is I forwarded to the mayor the name of an attorney that I work with frequently by the name of Joe Hata. He's a criminal defense attorney, and I approached him about the possibility of working in the mayor's court. I have some dates that are going to be conflicts in the near future, and although Todd Cipolla is available, his schedule is such that I just think it's wise and prudent for us to have another backup for mayor's court. It's doing so well, I'd like to not see us have a problem with being able to resolve things in mayor's court because we didn't have someone there. So I passed that along to the mayor. I'd like to have Joe come in and meet with the mayor, and if anyone else would like to meet him, I'll make that available for you to do so, and at the appropriate time and the appropriate vetting for you to consider him as a backup for that purpose. And that's all I have.
Thank you. Are there any questions for the law director this evening? Thank you, Jim. The next is the finance director's report, which, Mayor, you provided.
Right.
Correct. Thank you. And then the city engineer's report, Mr. DeFranco.
Thank you, Madam President. As the mayor mentioned, the Dodd Road resurfacing project is behind schedule. It's been delayed by the contractor's equipment issues on the contractor's Carvo paving. They will be getting together tomorrow to review their options, and hopefully we'll have more information on that. But we did notify their bonding company that we're concerned they may not be able to fulfill their contract within the schedule. Our main concern is related to this chip seal process that really has to be performed in temperatures above 60 degrees, including overnight. And this weekend we're supposed to be down to 50, so that's our big concern. But good news is we learned today that we're slated to receive a grant to resurface Rockefeller Road next year. This is based on our pre-application to the county, so the next step would be to submit to Ohio Public Works. And that concludes my report.
That's awesome. Thank you. Any questions for the city engineer this evening? Thank you, Pete. The next is council committee reports. Are there any chairs of any of our respective committees that have information that they would like to share?
Madam President, as the Chair of Personnel Relations, we haven't had a meeting, but there are a couple personnel issues that have come up before we have been able to call another meeting. The first is that I believe the mayor said he's going to be negotiating union contracts on October 1st. And there's a couple of our union contracts that I think the law director, if he hasn't already done so, would need to send a notification to the affected unions that those negotiations are going to start. I believe the AFSCME union contract and the Local 244 International Brotherhood of Teamsters Waste Paper Drivers Union contract, they both need that. And I guess they need to happen 90 days before the end of the contract, which is December 31st, 2019, so we have a few days to get those notices in. I don't believe any of the other contracts have that provision, but our law director might want to review that. But I didn't see that in those contracts, but they might be. We have a firefighters union contract coming up, the patrol officers in our police department, the sergeants. All of these contracts are coming up at the end of the year, so we should make sure that any notices we need for that, we should make sure we get in. The other is related to the fire department, and we got an email from the head of the union of the fire department who talked about his concerns related to something that some staffing orders that he said that he doesn't agree with. Now, I'm not sure if he maybe, you know, if those were actually, if this is actually something that is planned or if this is something that was just in discussions, but I think that we should definitely have this as a topic of discussion because as our council and the mayor together while we're here, because it is an issue, I think, that affects the safety of our residents and our firefighters. So I think that we should discuss that. What he said is he said that it's his understanding that that the fire chief was verbally instructed to reduce fire department on-duty staffing to below set minimum levels again through the end of the year. This is deep, as the minimum staffing level was set to ensure that we are able to provide minimally adequate services to the community we serve while at the same time ensuring our personnel. Not sure if something's like cut off here. As of this time, we are on track to finish with just under 2,500 runs in 2019, which is a 10% increase over 2018 and a 56% increase over 5 years ago. Nearly 50% of these runs in 2019 have overlapped with one or more other runs, which require us to be able to cover at least two concurrent emergencies. Staffing at below minimum essentially makes this a one-run department. There's a word cut off, sorry. It's inevitable that reliance upon our already busy mutual aid partners and thus creating a potentially significant delay in getting help to those in need. Additionally, serious individual calls, cardiac and vehicle crashes, etc., require staffing levels at or above minimum to be handled safely and effectively. Finally, interior firefighting operations at structure fires require our set minimum staffing that meet federal standards and regulations. So the fire union, they say that they understand the need to be fiscally responsible. However, reducing on-duty staffing in the safety forces is typically reserved for after the overall budget and all non-essential expenditures. Are thoroughly reviewed or exhausted. And we have seen in the past that simply cutting on-duty staffing does not actually provide the financial relief being sought. In some instances, it actually increases overtime costs and results in other unintended consequences such as increased injury and illness rates, increased stress, deflation of morale, loss in EMS billing revenue, and makes our organization less attractive to prospective employment candidates, which is something we're obviously concerned about right now, which puts us even further behind in getting our roster where it needs to be. So, you know, again, I'm not sure if this is actually something, but I think that I definitely don't want our fire department to go below minimum staffing, and I would think we all agree with that. So I just wanted to make sure that that's an issue that we're all aware of and we're talking about and making sure that we're keeping our residents safe and our firefighters safe.
Any questions, concerns? Obviously, there's concerns, but...
Madam President, you know, as Chair of Finance, my concern with an issue like this, and I think that most, if not all, of Council was copied on the email from the fire union president, is that we've tried to, as a city, and I'm not ascribing the decision to any one person, but as a city, we've tried to save money in the past by having temporary lower staffing levels. And what we found is that the resulting overtime actually cost more than having fewer firefighters on staff. So in addition to the safety issue that's obviously clear in terms of reducing staffing, where you might only be able to put out one team with an ambulance or a fire truck as opposed to two teams, that's obviously an issue if you have more than one emergency at a time. You also have the financial issue that we've seen the city try the reduced staffing levels in the past. We've actually ended up spending more money, and I think that's a double concern because overtime is considerably more expensive than part-time hours, and it's even more expensive than full-time hours. And whenever we drop our staffing below a certain amount, we've seen overtime increase exponentially because you have other people call off, take vacation, and the only way that you can replace those folks is to bring in a full-timer on overtime more often than not, and that is many times more expensive than just having the staffing one or two people hire to begin with a robust part-time staff and, you know, a full-time accoutrement. So I think we need to look at it from the financial perspective. Safety is first, of course, but the fact is I don't really see potential savings with dropping below the minimum levels. I think you'll only see overtime continue to increase, and we certainly don't want that.
And Vice President Plushnik, you bring up a good point because I think, too, as we get closer and closer to the holidays, there are going to be more firefighters that are going to be looking for time off because of the holidays, which is even going to make the staffing for more challenging for each shift. The other thing is I know Council has asked for years and has provided in ordinances for more firefighters, and I know there's a double-edged sword on that because it's difficult to get those positions filled as it is with even police officers. But Frank's not here, and he probably wouldn't have the answer tonight anyway, but I'm just curious, Bob, I don't know when there's been a year that we've budgeted overtime in the fire department where we haven't gone over it.
Which it has been years, but
not, I don't think of late, but it, I mean, if we look back even for the last 5 years, if we've continued to go over what's budgeted for overtime, is particularly in the fire department, then obviously that should tell us two things. One, we need to budget more for overtime because we don't have the full-time staff or the part-time staff, which, I mean, for years and before even Chief Gandy, we've talked about this. Somehow we need to get our hands around this and solve this for our community and for the safety, particularly for that particular division for our community. So,
in the past, we haven't hired many part-timers. It's been the decision of the chief. Now we have like six part-timers in training, and that'll take burden off the full-timers for overtime. So I think as we get through the training aspect of this, we can make it through. And also the facts that we have, like scheduling, we only schedule a month out ahead of time. That's a problem because we should be scheduling the whole year for vacations so everybody doesn't take vacations in December. Or, you know, so we're looking at that too. So we're looking at all the opportunities that we have to do it. We also have two open positions, and this test will, I hope, 2 out of 43 are going to make it. So,
and I would think, I mean, and the chief could probably speak to this, but I would think when you have six people in training at one time, that could be pretty challenging for the team.
Yeah, it is. Like today, we had six guys out on a car with the life of Jaws, cutting up a car and learning how to do that. So when we have the training available, Bob Ventel was doing the training. They all come in to do that. So, you know, it plays in part, but we have six right now, but it'd be nice to have three and three and three, but we got the six right now.
And is there a way that we can help expedite the process, too? Because I know at the beginning of the year, Council encouraged administration to use backtrack more so that there's not such a lag time. I mean, it's difficult, I think, for firefighters that want to know if they're going to have even a part-time job or a full-time job that waits for several months before the vetting is completed. If that can be expedited, I think that might help as well.
It is expedited, and most of them take 3 weeks if they turn their stuff in. But it's a lack of them turning it in and verifying the information. We verify it very. We have verified it very fast for these past six, and we will do so as we get the names.
Well, that's good to know.
So, yeah.
Thank you. Thank you.
Mayor, will losing Don slow down that verification process? And do you have anything in place temporarily to fill that gap?
Well, Stephanie and the department is doing a lot of the verification up front. So just a drug test and the driving examination is done by Dawn, so we can take that on. But most of the verification is done by the fire department now. That's why it's speeded up so much.
Thank you. Okay, good discussion. Any other chairs of the committees have anything that they would like to share this evening? Okay. Any other council representative reports?
Madam President.
Councilwoman Micah.
I attended a meeting of the Chagrin River Watershed Partners on September 17th. Our meeting was held in Gates Mills. We usually switch around to different communities. So part of the meeting was an actual tour of a restoration project done by the partners, and that was right there in Gates Mills. They have a pedestrian bridge right along their town center that had three property owners who came together and requested some bank stabilization. So we got to see actually, probably for the first time, actual project done where they planted natural tree stakes that were starting to bloom and different native plants and wildflowers, and it looked really nice. It was very informative. The second part of the meeting when we went back into the building after the tour was to talk about the 2020 member rates and member dues. There's going to be a 2% increase, which during my time as a trustee, I've seen a modest increase every year. Our 2% will take us from $6,959 to $7,098 for 2020. The last part of the meeting was a breakout session to discuss member needs and priorities. So out of the 34 members, the 34 communities that are represented there, we all broke into groups and actually got to share out what we were aware of were needs in our individual communities. Some people knew a lot. Like, for example, one of the representatives is a member of the Geauga Park District, so of course he's going to really be very detailed as far as his needs go. I shared for our community that a lot of the calls and concerns are about flooding in the yards or standing water, erosion, those types of things. I do accompany the partners once in a while on site visits when I'm able to. A lot of times for a modest water problem, they recommend installation of rain gardens, which, if you're not familiar with a rain garden, it's a system of planting native plants and flowers that will actually soak up and filter the water, and they really have eliminated standing water spots in some yards where they've been installed. I was so interested in it that this summer I took a Master Rain Gardener course that was 5 weeks long, and I made it through, and I'm certified in residential rain garden installation now. And I did that because of a personal interest, and also just because the work is so interesting, I thought it would be helpful as the trustee to be able to gain that information and then pass it along to homeowners myself. The next meeting is going to be December 12th, location to be announced. These are open to the public, by the way, not as far as participation, but anyone is welcome to attend, and they're always from 4 o'clock to 6 in the evening. So that concludes my report. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilwoman Micah. Very interesting. Any questions?
Madam President, one quick question for Councilwoman Micah. I've definitely had several residents approach me about our membership in the Chagrin River Watershed Trustees and the hope to learn more about the services that they offer residents. I know that you've been looking into the possibility of having a presentation at a council meeting where they could join us and just lay out what they do for us as a city and what residents can take advantage of. Do we have any sense of when that might be able to happen?
Thank you for bringing that up. I forgot. Yes, I did reach out to Heather Elmer, who's one of the board members on Chagrin Partners, and she said they would be more than happy to come. The basic question is, what is Chagrin River Watershed Partners, and what do they do in our city, and how they can benefit me as a homeowner? So she threw out a couple dates. I believe she's looking at possibly the last council meeting we have in October or the first ones in November. So I just got her email today. We're going to go back and forth, and along with President Fellows, just try to determine some which date is good for them to come.
That's really exciting.
Yeah.
A little less exciting, but whenever I hear standing water, I always want to remind residents that Lake County Mosquito Control, which is part of the health district that we all participate in, is always willing to visit your property to evaluate whether you have a mosquito problem, absolutely free, and they will also treat the water if they find that you do have a mosquito problem. And for those of you who are worried about the pesticides, it's worth noting that what they actually spray from the road from time to time is a chrysanthemum extract, as in the flower, and what they would treat your standing water with if you have a pool or a pond in your backyard is actually a spiny type of sugar, which is perfectly harmless to a human being, but apparently the sugar is not digestible by mosquito larvae, so it disagrees with their stomach and they don't do so good. So they're very, very natural responses to the problem, and given that when they test mosquitoes in the area, they have regularly found West Nile virus and other diseases. They have. From year to year, they typically do find some mosquitoes that have those diseases. Having standing water with a lot of mosquitoes biting you, your family, your neighbors is not safe. So if you're experiencing that problem, understand you don't have to pay to address it. You just need to put in a phone call. So it's more fun to talk about a water garden, but mosquitoes are dangerous.
More about mosquitoes than I wanted to know.
Actually, every single elected official in the county was invited to Lake County Mosquito Control, and I was the only one who came. So it's not the most exciting, but it's worth noting that it's a free service that our health district provides, and it is serious. If you're getting bitten every night you go out in your backyard, you should consider putting in a call.
Thank you.
Madam President, Councilwoman Mike, I also heard that the Chagrin River Watershed Partners just received a grant for about $195,000. They'll be announcing soon, and it'll be a match with residents, but it's going to be spread across their five sub-water districts, but this is for stream bank restoration. So if we have residents in the city that live along the river, and there are some issues, there's going to be some money available for projects if we can identify. Now, we'll be in competition with a lot of other communities and a lot of other watersheds. However, since there is money available, and I believe it was like a 50% match, if there are some people that come to your attention or anybody on the council here that say, hey, we've got some issues along our stream, there's going to be some money available through the Lake Erie Initiative, I believe, is what the grant was under. So that's That's something I just learned about in the last day or so. I don't know if they mentioned it yet, because it's kind of...
You know, I'll tell you something. There is so many different organizations that work with Chagrin River Watershed Partners. So this is all about alliances. And there's probably 10 different associations that work together, and they do various things under the broad category of managing watersheds. So, and a new one was just created. I think it's Lake Erie Alliance or Lake Erie Advisory Project. So it's LEAP. And yeah, they do grants, they do matching, they do evaluations. But just for our purposes, with this one organization, CRWP, they will give, you know, the fees that Willoughby Hills pays to them through our stormwater taxes, enable them to come out by request to a homeowner to do a free evaluation and give them some advice as to what their problem would be. And like I said, usually it's water related. We have so many rivers and streams in the city, and we have, you know, we get, I'm sure all of us have gotten calls about ditches, roadside ditches that were clogged up or backing up or something like that. So they may tell you, yes, we can help you. They may say, no, that's not really our problem. Talk to your city engineer. But it's just helpful to know which direction to start out going. So it's no, you won't be out any money. You won't be, you know, in trouble if you call them and it doesn't turn out to be, you know, in their scope of services. So, and of course, you could always contact me, and I'll try to put you in touch with the correct person too. But having them come and speak to council will be a good step in just sorting this out in people's minds, because it took me quite a while. I'm still learning all the time as to, you know, what portion of our taxes goes to this organization and what do they do with this money and how can they help me. So we'll find that out in the next couple months.
Thank you. Really, really great information. Thank you. Moving on to public portion. Public portion is an opportunity for the public to come forward, share some thoughts and opinions. I ask when you come forward to please state your name and address for the record and try to keep your comments to 3 minutes. And I will open public portion at 7:36 p.m.
Doris Dodge, 37881 Milan Drive. You brought this up about the roads and the flooding and stuff. Thanks, Jan. That's really great, that information. When you're talking about roads for next year, I would like to nominate Pleasant Valley Road. One half was done several years ago. The other half, when it rains severely, that water comes right over the road. And the yellow lines were put down the road this year, and most of the yellow lines are in cracks down the middle of the road. So that road really needs attention, not just from a drainage thing, but just from a paving thing. The other question I have, maybe our city engineer can answer, there was a structure that was built in the meadow on Dodd Road. It looks like a two-car garage. It looks like there's electrical outlet on the outside as well. I wanted to know what the building was for. I'm guessing it's for maintenance of some sort, but I don't know what kind of maintenance a meadow or a field would need. And my third question has to do with the Grange, because this has been an issue for a long time, and I think we've got to get this thing finally put to bed. At this point, we have, as far as I know, just the Girl Scouts are using that building. Now, I'm a big proponent of Scouts. My son is a Scoutmaster. My grandson is a Scout, and soon my granddaughter will be a Scout. But the Girl Scouts that are occupying this building at this time are not even a Willoughby Hills troop. So I would like to suggest that they find a venue within their own city, and then we can finally get this Grange thing put to bed and utilized for citizens in Willoughby Hills.
Thank you, Doris. Anyone else this evening? Okay, I will close public portion at 7:39 p.m. Pete? Pleasant Valley Road, I don't know where that is on the list.
Yeah, we'll
we'd have to look it up.
Mm-hmm.
The road superintendent and the city engineer, I think, annually reevaluate all the roads and then put them in order of what needs to be either repaired or surfaced first and go from there.
We last rated them in 2017, so we use those ratings to decide what roads are going to be surfaced. So we'll take a look at that. The structure in the meadow is owned by the Audubon Society for storage of their maintenance, and I don't know what type of equipment they store or what type of maintenance they do, but it was approved by the Planning Commission process. They obtained all the permits.
And the Grange.
Madam President, if I could address that, this was actually an issue that came up in our meeting with the state auditors. In giving us their clean opinion, they did have some notes on things that we needed to do better, and in their initial draft, they were concerned that there was no policy with respect to the Grange. I give credit to the mayor's office because they forwarded our ordinance regulating the Grange and restricting the groups that could use it at this point, I believe, to Boy Scouts and Girl Scouts, and they found that that ordinance was the only reason the city was in compliance. So I think it's worth noting that while that ordinance was somewhat controversial when passed, the state auditors noted that we needed to have a policy in place, and that ordinance is the reason that the city was in compliance. So while I certainly agree that we need to evaluate how we can better open up the Grange to residents, I do think it's worth noting to council that that was a really positive move that the council took at a difficult time to make sure that the city was complying with state law. But for my part, I think that as residents and taxpayers, we've been paying for this building for many years, and I've only been able to enter the Grange myself one time when the mayor had an open house. I think that there should be ways that our residents and neighbors can appreciate and use it. You're paying for it. You deserve to enjoy it. And there are challenges with that. But I remain interested in having a committee that's made up of residents and council people and any interested parties to evaluate the best, most economical, safest ways to open up that building, because it's a beautiful piece of history. I mean, I remember walking through the Grange the one time, and I'm really grateful to have it in our community. I think it's an important landmark, and to remember what the Grange meant as the association of the farmers that really helped to build this place when it was just a township. I think that's an important part of our history as a city, but residents deserve, as the people paying for it, to use it too. We want Boy Scouts and Girl Scouts to always have access and to enjoy the building, but you deserve to use it too. And I know that Ms. Dodge has asked about renting it in the past, and I think that's one policy we need to consider the pros and cons of, as well as whether the city could have some events or some meetings there. But there has to be a way for residents to appreciate the landmark if you're going to pay for it. So That's the best response I can give, but I would certainly call on all of council to continue to think about revisiting the issue of how we can open up the Grange to more members of the public.
Thank you. All right. Moving on to unfinished business. Is there any unfinished business before us this evening? Then legislation. We have two ordinances on the docket this evening. The first one is ordinance number 2019-60. It's on third reading. Vicki, would you read the caption, please?
An ordinance authorizing and directing the mayor to enter into a document management agreement with ComDoc for the leasing of two new Xerox copying devices and the management of printing services.
Madam President.
Councilwoman Lenz.
I would like to make a motion to table ordinance 2019-60.
Second.
I have a motion from Councilwoman Lenz and a second from Vice President Plushnik to table ordinance number 2019-60. There is no discussion on a table. Vicki, please call the roll.
Pismo.
Yes.
Plushnik.
Yes.
Fellows.
Yes.
Fiebig.
Yes.
Hullum?
No.
Lenz?
Yes.
Micah?
Yes.
The motion to table ordinance 2019-60 has been adopted. The next is ordinance number 2019-64. It's on second reading, and Vicki, I'll just have you read the caption.
An ordinance amending section 186.02 of the codified ordinances of Willoughby Hills to amend certain definitions to correspond with definitions which have been amended in Chapter 718 of the Ohio Revised Code, repealing certain ordinances and declaring an emergency.
Thank you. The next is new business for this evening. Is there any new business to... Yeah, it's going to stay on second reading. Yes. New business? For the good of the order or the community?
Madam President.
Vice President Plushnik.
For our next meeting, I want to make sure that we wish the Jewish members of our community a blessed Rosh Hashanah and Happy New Year. And for those of the Eastern European persuasion, I want to remind you that Slovenska Prastava is hosting their annual Oktoberfest on Saturday, October 5th. I know that many of us have attended in the past, including Councilman Hallam, our street superintendent Mark Grubas. It's a really wonderful event, and Prastava has always been an organization joined by many of our Willoughby Hills residents. So I just wanted to highlight that Oktoberfest at Slovenska Prastava is going to be Saturday, October 5th. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else for the community or the order? Seeing none, entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second.
I have a motion from Vice President Plushnik and a second from Councilwoman Lenz to adjourn the meeting. There's no discussion on an adjournment. Vicki, please call the roll.
Pismo.
Yes.
Plushnik.
Yes.
Fellows.
Yes.
Phoebe.
Yes.
Hullum.
Yes.
Lenz.
Yes.
Micah.
Yes.
Meeting is adjourned at 7:46 p.m. Thank you, everybody. Safe travels home.